talk. We had an amazing week, and they got a chance there to say thank you, but here in person, we just say thank you to you guys for supporting us and getting us there. And as some of the girls said, it wasn't an accident that each person was there. And they were able to articulate their reason why they were there, what they learned and what God had intended for them. But now we're home. And it's always hard to come home from events like that. It's such an emotional high, such a spiritual high. You're surrounded by Christians the whole time who all have the same focus. But eventually, we have to come home. And we have to come home to our families, to our friends, to the distractions that are around us, the things that tempt us, the things that pull us away from all the things that we are focused on while we were there. And that's so hard to do, to translate the experience of being there on the mountaintop to coming back home and keeping that going where we're close to God. And as each day passes, that so-called spiritual high of that mountaintop experience begins to wear off. It even happened to Moses in Exodus chapter 35. I want to read that for you. If you want to flip there, it's Exodus 35, starting in verse 29. But when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. He had a mountaintop experience, and he was glowing, literally glowing, because of it. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. After all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. The glow would begin to wear off from his mountaintop experience on Mount Sinai with God. And he didn't want people to see that the glow was wearing off, so he would put a veil over his face until he would go and meet with God again. And then for a little while, he would go without the veil and show off that radiant glow that God gave him. And then as it would wear off, he would put it back on again. He didn't want the people to see that he was coming down off of that mountaintop experience like we all do. You know, that glow from our encounter with God starts to wear off after a little while. But the theme of the week when we were out there was momentum. You saw it in the logo for the conference. But they focused so hard on teaching us to take this collection of moments that God has placed in our lives to build them together to create momentum, so that it's not just a series of great moments, but it's helping us continue to grow closer to God, like Bryce was talking about, where that we're raising the bar of that spiritual high, because we are still close to God, but we can still get closer to Him. I read this book one time about discipleship. And it introduced me to this idea of something called Tarzan Christianity. And that sounds so funny, but I'm assuming pretty much everybody knows who Tarzan is, so I won't get into explaining exactly who he is. But if you kind of picture Tarzan kind of swinging from vine to vine, you know, he would grab a tree vine and he would swing from treetop to treetop, and the whole jungle would just come alive with his signature yell or scream, whatever you want to call it. But what a picture of him just weaving through the jungle from vine to vine. And If you think about it, though, how convenient it was that every time his vine ended, there was another vine to grab and keep on swinging. But what would happen if sometime he grabbed a vine that was too long and it went, crashes on the jungle floor? Or if he grabbed a vine that was too short and halfway through the air he realizes vine A is not going to get me to vine B. What does he do? Or what happens if after swinging from one tree to another, to another, to another, he comes to a clearing and there's no more trees and there's no more vines? What does he do? He doesn't have anything to swing from anymore. And I think this is a really good picture of our spiritual lives. You know, we swing from treetop to treetop, or in Moses' case, mountaintop to mountaintop. And life isn't always going to provide those treetop experiences, those mountaintop experiences for us. What about life in the clearing? When there are no treetops, when we're feeling like we don't know what to grab next. What do we do when that excitement diminishes and we find it difficult to find the trail? We're not sure where to go next. When the Christian life becomes more about walking step by step than swinging from tree to tree. You know, if we find a clearing, if we come down from the tree, from the mountain, will our faith survive? Or is it going to crash and burn in a blur of doubt and disillusion and distraction? We need to figure out how to land, stand, and keep walking with Christ every step of the way. And so just real quick this morning, I just want to share two things with you that kind of help us figure this part out. What do we do now? And the first is to make ourselves not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Last week we heard the word. We heard from God. He gave us instruction. What now? We have to be doers. James 1:22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." It does us no good to go and have these experiences and then to walk away and do nothing with what God taught us. It does nothing for us. A similar story to this happens in Acts chapter 2. To kind of set the scene a little bit, this is where Jesus has already ascended into heaven. He tells the apostles to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. So they stay in Jerusalem, and at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up in a huge way. And so Peter gets up and starts preaching to the people. And after he's finished, verse 37 that we read as the call to worship this morning comes in. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' They heard the word and they asked how they should respond." So often we'll hear a good message, or we'll go to a conference, or we'll go to a concert, or whatever your treetop or mountaintop experiences are, and we are cut to the heart. We hear from God. You know, it's evident our students heard from God. Some of them maybe for the first time. But the important thing is that you follow it up with, "What shall we do? Now that I've heard from you, what's next?" You know, if we walk away from the mirror and forget what we saw, we're not being obedient. We're not going to grow. If we want to keep building momentum rather than just having a series of great moments, we need to figure out what to do next. And there's one other way that we can help coming down from these mountaintop experiences, and that's to develop expectancy. Probably, at least for me, the most powerful thing I heard all week from any of the speakers, from any of the seminars, was on Friday night when Tim Meyer, who's now the head of Envision, was speaking, and he said, how many of you have come to these things, had an awesome time, and the whole time you're like, how come it's not like this at my home church? Why can't my experience be like this at home? And he pointed out, he said, every single session, morning and night, you guys stand down there in line. Thousands of people standing at the bottom of an escalator, filling the lobby area, waiting to go up into the session. I mean, the line starts at least an hour before the session's going to begin. And just the anticipation is building to the point where, I mean, the security guys have to stand there at the end of the escalator, like, holding people back. And when they finally let people through, first of all, they have to get out the way. But the crowd just rushes up the escalator. I mean, they're, like, pushing each other out of the way, shoving each other, trying to get up there. Because they expect to encounter God. They're going in expecting for it to happen. Listening to the message, expecting to hear something. So they're listening intently and taking notes. They're expecting to encounter God through worship. So they're giving everything they have. And he said, the reason you don't get this at home is because when you go to church, you don't expect to encounter God. And, you know, not that I'm expecting there to be a line forming an hour before church outside these doors, so when we open them, when the Sunday school class ends, you come rushing in. But if we want to keep the mountaintop experience going, if we want to keep that level and keep getting closer to God, when we are not at those places, we still have to expect to encounter God. We don't have to go to Kansas City to a big youth conference or to Mahaffey Camp for family camp or teen camp or fill in the blank with wherever you're going. Kingdom Bounds this week. You don't have to go there to encounter God. You just have to enter into his presence expecting to encounter him. Matthew 7:7-11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? If you want to encounter God, just ask him. Just ask and you will receive. Seek him and you will find him. If you just knock, he'll open the door. He wants to meet you, but you have to expect to encounter him, or it's not going to happen. The song that the team introduced that we sang a lot at the conference, it just really stuck with us. But there's a line in the song that says, I won't wait for the mountaintop, I'll claim you here. You don't have to wait until that next thing, till that next treetop, till that next mountaintop. You can do it right now. Just claim him now. Surrender to him. Surrender everything. And when you ask him what is next, and when you expect to encounter him, You can build momentum and you can keep moving higher and higher in your relationship with God. And as you do that, the jungle floor comes up and they meet. And those treetops become a norm. And then you're walking instead of swinging. You're walking at a higher level. And that's what God's calling us to. And I think that's what God called us all to last week with the theme of the conference. I'm going to pray. And we're going to sing that song one more time. So the worship team's going to come and lead us in that. But let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for experiences like the Life Conference and whatever it is for each one of us. But Lord, we don't want to come down from the mountain. We want to stay up there with you. Show us how to do that. Help us to expect to encounter you and to just ask for it because you'll give it to us. Lord, as we just enter into your praise, Lord, just let us focus on the words and what we are really saying and praying to you. In your name we pray. Amen.